السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا ومرشدنا ومطاعنا ومولانا محمد، وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فاستقم كما أمرت ومن تاب معك ولا تطغوا. وقال تعالى: واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama, respected brothers, mothers and sisters, over the last few months there was a great degree of enthusiasm, there was a great degree of anticipation, excitement for the coming of the blessed month of Ramadan. And when Ramadan commenced, there was a deep sense of appreciation that Alhamdulillah, thumma Alhamdulillah, thumma Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us once again with an opportunity to witness this great month. And as we progressed through the month, we fasted, we performed Taraweeh Salah, we gave charity, we pleaded to Allah for forgiveness, and now, so quickly, almost like in the blinking of an eye, we find ourselves in the midst of the closing days and the concluding days of this great month of Ramadan. May Allah accept. But the question is, what now? Ramadan has come and almost gone. Within the next few days, another few nights, we celebrate Eid, and then it's part of history. What now? What should our focus be on? What do we do to make all of this, what we did in Ramadan, worthwhile in the long run? And the starting point is to understand, and this is a key point, this is a key principle we should understand, that Ramadan is a means, is not an end. Ramadan is a means, it is not an end. It is a means towards transformation, towards betterment, towards improvement, and towards continuous progress. In simple terms, what I'm saying is, you cannot become a seasonal Muslim. We cannot worship Allah only when it's season. We need to become steadfast Muslims. The obedience must continue. With the grace of Allah, to a large extent, we were obedient to Allah. We were dedicated to the worship and ibadah of Allah during the month of Ramadan. It cannot come to an end. It cannot conclude with the conclusion of Ramadan. If it does, it means that we are seasonal Muslims. We are only focused on obedience, and we are only focused on compliance to the deen during season. What happens after season? That Allah who was there in Ramadan, is He not there after Ramadan? That Quran that was there in Ramadan, is it not applicable after Ramadan? That Sharia which was binding during Ramadan, is it not equally binding after Ramadan? There's an instruction of the Quran in the concluding verses of Surah Al-Hijr, which I recited in my introduction. Allah says, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. You have to continue worshipping Allah until your last breath. You have to continue with this path of transformation, betterment, improvement. There needs to be continuous progress in the life of a Muslim, even post Ramadan, even post the season. If you give a very basic example, even in business, you have your peak periods, but you don't go to sleep after the peak period. Yes, obviously during the peak period you make a greater effort and you hope for a greater profit, but business goes on. Business goes on even after that. You need to make a profit every month of the year. You need to open your business on every business day of the year. And that's the mindset that we need to develop during these concluding months in Ramadan. Or rather, these concluding days in Ramadan. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Allah says, continue to worship me until your last breath. Continue to strive to become a better servant of Allah until your last breath. Ramadan was meant there to give you a boost, to be of impetus, to give you that kickstart, you know, because things were slackening. Now make it count. Make it worthwhile. For those who may remember some months ago when I spoke here on the first Friday in Rajab, I set the tone that this is a season of change. This is a season of transformation. It's not only meant to secure reward. It's not only meant to do a little additional extra within a period of 30 days. It's meant to transform our lives. So the requirement of the day as we go into the concluding hours of Ramadan is that of istiqamah. It is that of steadfastness. We need to become steadfast Muslims. What does istiqamah mean? You know, every scholar will tell you they have this problem. Arabic is such a beautiful language. It is a language that's so laden with meaning that when you try to use, you try to look for English equivalents, you always struggle. So you're going to have to find about six different English words that will perhaps to some extent encapsulate the meaning of one Arabic word. So if we want to understand what is istiqamah, some of the English words perhaps that in their own independent ways give us different or reflect to us the different dimensions of this word istiqamah. It means to persist. It means to persevere. It means to be determined, to be resolute, not to deviate, to be steadfast. And I'll focus on that one word, you know, for the purposes of this discussion, that we need to be steadfast Muslims. The obedience needs to continue. What is the second greatest command that Allah has given us after Iman? Allah issues the instruction repeatedly in the Quran that bring Iman. We have brought Iman. Alhamdulillah. Well, after Iman, what is the second most important instruction? It is the instruction to remain steadfast. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَطْغَوْ. It is famously known that one day Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he saw that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was starting to gray. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I see signs of old age. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Shayyabatni Hudun wa akhawatuha. That surah Hud and other such surahs have made me go gray. And Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, it was this verse in surah Hud that made Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam exert himself so much. It was the instruction from Allah that you have Iman, now be steadfast. Be steadfast on the dictates of Iman. Brothers, you know, istiqamat is so important that Allah makes us remind ourselves in every rakat of every salah with regards to istiqamat. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Allah guide me to the straight path. The path of istiqamat and steadfastness. A straight road goes only to one destination. Because it's a straight road. So we translate it as Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. That Allah guide us to the straight path. What's the destination? Jannah. If you remain steadfast on the teachings of Islam, if you remain steadfast in your obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, your destination can only be Jannah. So by reciting Surah Fatiha in every rakat of every salah, we're asking Allah to enable us, but we're also reminding ourselves to make effort to become steadfast Muslims. To ensure that obedience is ongoing, that we are not seasonal Muslims. We don't only worship Allah in high season. Once a Sahabi by the name of Sufyan bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me something after which I don't have to ask anybody anything. In other words, tell me something which is so comprehensive that it's sufficient advice for me for the rest of my life. What did the Nabi of Allah say to him? قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say that I have brought Iman in Allah and after that remain steadfast on the teachings of Iman. Remain steadfast on the teachings of Islam. This is not an easy topic to digest, and the reason is because it requires a lot of effort from our side. But Islam and the history of Islam, we never ran away from hard work. We never ran away from hard work because you have to make an effort for Jannah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. We have granted you this Jannah because of your efforts. You have to exert yourself somewhat. It's much easier to dedicate yourself to the worship of Allah for 30 days, but it's much more difficult to remain steadfast. However, it's much more important to remain steadfast thereafter. It's much more important to remain steadfast thereafter. Now, I've made my point that steadfastness is the need of the hour. Our mindset is already supposed to be molded in that direction as we move towards the conclusion of Ramadan. That now I intend to become steadfast. But the question then is how? And I want to share in this regard just a few tips on how we can remain steadfast after this great month of Ramadan. The first and the most important thing. And once again I tie it up for those who would remember with that talk that I gave here in this masjid on the first Friday in Rajab. The first point, the first key to remaining steadfast as a Muslim is that you need to stop sinning. Remember, every time you sin, Allah says, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. A famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every time you sin, a black dot appears on your heart, on your spiritual heart. So every time you sin, you are screening your heart. You are placing a screen over your heart, which makes it more difficult for hidayah and guidance to penetrate. Which makes it more difficult for you to do the things that you're supposed to do and to abstain from the things that you need to abstain from. So the first thing you need to do in order to remain steadfast is to ensure that you minimize and you eradicate sin from your life. The second thing, time management. This is where many of us fall short. We don't appreciate the fact that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us this priceless bounty of time. So priceless, so valuable that Allah takes an oath on it in the Quran. Wal asr. Allah takes an oath by time. If you can manage your time, then you will be able to remain steadfast. You will be able to remain focused. Just yesterday I read a quote of Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, what a scholar. And he says, and I'll give you the English equivalent of it. He says, every breath of life, just listen to these words. He says, every breath of life is a precious jewel that can bring eternal treasures. Every breath of life is a precious jewel that can bring eternal treasures. Wasting it, is a great loss that no intelligent man can justify. Every breath, I mean with that one breath when you say La ilaha illallah, with that one breath when you say Subhanallah, and a tree is planted for you in Jannah, with that one breath when you say something appropriate and it hits the heart of someone and it changes their life. Imam Ghazali says, every breath of yours is a precious jewel which has the potential to bring you an eternal treasure. Which has the potential to invest for you eternally in the stock exchange of Jannah, which never collapses. If you waste it, yeah, as dom. To put it frankly. Every breath that you waste is illogical. It goes against intelligence. And then he says, listen to these words. What a remarkable scholar and philosopher this man was. He says, when a man wakes up in the morning, he must tell himself that the only asset I have is my life. When a man wakes up in the morning, he must tell himself, the only asset that I have is my life. And when life perishes, all my capital perishes. So what's my life made up of? Every second in my life, that's what it's made up of. And every second that perishes is a second of me that's perishing. The day I die, it means my capital has been depleted. So I need to use every second to invest in my hereafter. Not necessarily only on the musalla, only in salah. Earning a livelihood in the right way, social interaction in the right way, even relaxing and sleeping and eating in the right way is all investment for the hereafter. But your time has to be managed. So the first was that don't sin, because it creates a screen on your heart which makes it difficult for you to be obedient to Allah. And the second is manage your time. The third tip towards a steadfast life as a Muslim, towards a continuation of obedience, is adopt the company of the pious. We have heard many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you sit in a person's company, it has an effect on you, positive or negative, whether you like it or not. Every now and again, go to those people who are on a higher level of spirituality and sit in their company. It gives your iman and your spirituality a boost. We need it. We're too weak to pull from one Ramadan to the other on our own steam. From time to time, sit in the company of those who can give you religious perspective. They can remind you that, hey, this is where you're going off. Just by their general discourse, just by their general interaction, it is mentioned some pious people, you just look at them and they remind you of Allah. Some pious people, Allah has blessed them in such a way because of their piety and their steadfastness, that when people just look at them, it reminds them of Allah. So adopt the company of the pious. The fourth thing, muhasabah, introspection. And I've mentioned this previously. Every night take stock of what you did for the day. It helps you to keep yourself in check. Otherwise, 11 months will float. And it will be Sha'ban 1438. And you think to yourself, but I haven't improved since last Ramadan. I'm back to where I was. So every night, starting with the night after Eid, do a bit of muhasabah before you close your eyes and retire for the night. That what have I done for the day? What's my routine like? How am I spending my life? That's the fourth. The fifth thing is dua. Dua. Never underestimate dua. Remember, in order for you to be steadfast, your heart needs to be rightly guided. And according to a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, every heart of every human is in the hands of Allah. It is in the control of Allah. So if you talk to Allah and you beg to Allah that grant me that guidance, grant me that steadfastness, hold me by my hand and walk me on the sirat al-mustaqim, O my Allah. Ya musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala deenik. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala ta'atik. That, O Allah, you are the controller of our hearts. Turn our hearts towards obedience. Turn our hearts towards the true teachings of Islam. That's the fifth. And the sixth, shaitan is your enemy, so treat him as such. The sixth point that the scholars have mentioned in terms of how to keep yourself steadfast and how to become a steadfast Muslim and to ensure the continuation of obedience is treat the devil as an enemy, because that is what he is. And Allah says this in the Quran, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. He's your enemy, treat him as an enemy. Your enemy in life, he walks in that door, you walk out that door. You don't want to even be near him. You don't want to associate, you don't want to entertain any discussion. The difficulty with us is we think, well, you know, I know the devil is my enemy, but I trust myself. So you allow yourself to entertain a few thoughts. But the devil is rather smart. Allah says in one verse of the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. That, O you who believe, don't walk in the footsteps of the devil. Now the Mufassirin have written, they say, why does Allah say don't walk in the footsteps of the devil? Allah could have just said don't follow the devil. And the answer is remarkable. When you walk in someone's footsteps, you don't know where they're taking you. You just follow them one step at a time. So if you see footsteps leading out of this masjid, you may not know what's out of the masjid. But you just follow it one step at a time. That's what the devil does you. He takes you and he misguides you one step at a time until Allah forbid you see yourself in front of the doors of hellfire. So Allah says, treat the devil as an enemy because that is what he is. I don't intend to dampen the spirit, brothers. Obviously, we are now in a season of great optimism, and so we should. Because the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is descending in greater abundance. We are moving towards the 27th night of Ramadan. We should be hopeful in the mercy of Allah. No doubt about that. But together with that, this is also the time to make dua for steadfastness. This is also the time to start molding our mindset that this year, Allah, with your help, I'm not going to let it slip after Ramadan. I'm not going to let it slip after Ramadan. This Ramadan, inshallah, is going to be different. It's going to be one where I emerge as a steadfast Muslim. It's going to be one where I emerge with a continuation of obedience. Otherwise, we become like that description which Allah has given in the 14th juz of the Quran, where Allah says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَدَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثًا. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us the parable and the example of a woman. There was a mentally deranged woman in Makkah in those days. The whole day she would knit. And if you knit for the whole day, you'll be sitting with a nice piece of cloth at the end of the day. And then at sunset, she would shred the whole cloth with her own hands, wasting a whole day's effort. So Allah says, don't do that. You've spent 30 days in the obedience of Allah. Don't run towards sin after Ramadan like you were a bird who was caged for 30 days and now you're unshackled. Wallahi, it's a tragedy. Sometimes when we look at how we behave on Eid day, let alone the day after Eid, it is like we caged ourselves for 30 days and abstained from sin, and now the cage has been lifted. I need to go back to everything that I was doing before Ramadan, as if I feel like I was missing out for 30 days. Whereas it ought to be the opposite. That 30 days ought to have created within us such a love for obedience and such a dislike for disobedience and sin that we ought to emerge different from this great month of Ramadan. Remember, we are all seeking acceptance from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala during these last few hours of Ramadan. The greatest sign of acceptance after a good deed is if you follow it up with goodness. And the greatest sign, and I shudder to say this, we are all guilty. The greatest sign of a lack of acceptance is if you emerge from goodness and then you start indulging in evil. Allah protect us. Allah protect us in this regard. But it's imperative that we become steadfast Muslims and not seasonal Muslims. That the obedience continues. The obedience has to continue. The greatest appreciation we can show to Allah for Ramadan. All of us would like to see another Ramadan. Without doubt. And the Quranic principle is what? لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ If you show gratitude to Allah, Allah will increase for you. The greatest gratitude you can show to Allah for Ramadan is to remain steadfast after Ramadan. Brothers, we don't know whether we'll have this opportunity again. We don't. Let's make it count whilst we can. Obviously, you cannot do outside of Ramadan as much as you did in Ramadan. Ramadan has its own climate. Come here the day after Eid and try and read 20 rakats. Right? It's not that easy. Try and read as much Quran as you were in Ramadan. It's not that easy. And Islam is not asking that from us. All Islam is saying, you read quite a bit of Quran in Ramadan, read at least something, but every day, outside of Ramadan. You perform 20 rakats of salah in Ramadan, at least perform your 5 daily salah, and once you've got that under grasp, a little of nafil here and there. You gave your zakah in Ramadan, give a few rands of charity outside of Ramadan. You don't have to do the same in terms of quantity. All that is required is be constant. That's the meaning of istiqamat. It must not be that you don't see the Quran for the next 11 months. It must not be that you don't see the masjid for the next 11 months. It must not be that you don't understand the meaning of charity for the next 11 months. No. Because that would be contrary to istiqamah. That would mean that we have not understood. Again, I'm saying, brothers, it's difficult. Steadfastness is not easy. However, it's not impossible. It is jihadul akbar. When Sahaba were coming from an expedition, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رَجَعْنَا مِنَ الْجِهَادِ الْأَصْغَرِ إِلَى الْجِهَادِ الْأَكْبَرِ That was the smaller jihad. Even though you had to draw weapons, and even though your life was in danger, but it was for a very limited period. The greater jihad is the constant struggle against the nafs. The constant struggle to remain steadfast. Why? Why is it the greater jihad? The struggle for steadfastness is the greater jihad. Why? Because the field is unlimited. When you're at war, the field is limited. Because it's timeless and boundless. And also because it's against yourself. The lesser jihad when you go into the expedition is against an open enemy. This is a struggle against yourself. The enemy is from within, the nafs. You cannot see it. You cannot perceive it with your 5 senses. And whilst we endeavor to remain steadfast, we must also remind ourselves with regards to the reward. The reward of those people who have istiqamah. I touched on it a few nights ago in the tafsir after the Taraweeh Salah. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ Allah says, my servant, I know it's a struggle to remain steadfast, but if you continue with that struggle, the angels will come to you whilst you are alive and they will give you support. The day you die, they will say, we are here to support you. When you lowered in your grave, they'll say, we are here to support you. When you resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, they will say, we are here to support you. Until they give you the glad tidings of Jannah, Nuzulam min Ghafurir Rahim, where you will be the guest for eternity of none other than Almighty Allah. Make that intention now, brothers, that this Ramadan is going to be different. We're going to emerge as steadfast Muslims. We're going to ensure that the obedience continues. Not only in our individual capacity, we cannot forget the plight of the Ummah. Part of steadfastness is for us to be active and to continue with our activism with regards the plight of Muslims and humans who are suffering wherever they are suffering. And especially Al-Quds. We don't have to be apologetic about it. Wherever a human suffers, it hurts us. Wherever a Muslim suffers, it hurts us more. But if he's suffering, it hurts me. But if my father is suffering, it hurts me more. So if any human suffers, we hurt because he's a human. If a Muslim suffers, we hurt even more. But if there's suffering and oppression in the third holiest site in Islam, then it breaks our heart. It breaks our heart. And we don't have to be apologetic about that. And part of being a steadfast Muslim is not only about your own ibadah, your own worship, your own abstention from sin, and your own dedication to different religious practices. It's about standing up and speaking truth and being an activist for the cause of justice. And let's continue with that dua and supplication during these blessed nights, that Allah liberate Masjid al-Aqsa from the hands of the oppressive usurpers in our lifetime. I'll conclude by saying, brothers, these last few days of Ramadan, we still have an opportunity to make dua to emerge as steadfast Muslims and to start tuning our mindset that I'm going to use these last few days to start molding myself to become a perpetual obedient slave of Allah, not a seasonal slave of Allah. May Allah, I'm not only going to worship you in Ramadan, I'm going to continue with it after Ramadan. The difference between a believer and a hypocrite, the difference between a believer and a hypocrite, between a winner and a loser, between success and failure is istiqamat, steadfastness. Losers make promises. Don't promise yourself you will be steadfast. Winners make commitment. Make a commitment to Allah. Don't look at your weakness of the past. Look at the greatness of Allah and say, Allah, today, in this last Friday of Jumu'ah, in your house, at this blessed hour, I make a commitment to you, my Allah. I'm going to be a steadfast Muslim after day of Eid. I'm going to continue with that obedience because I know I live only once. This could be my last Ramadan. This could be the last year of my life. I want to make it count as a steadfast, obedient servant of Allah. May Allah grant us all the tawfiq. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.